been faithful. And so, you know, he says that he will work for the good of those that love him through all situations. And so let's just look at some of the good things. Pastor Kathy was talking about, you know, doing your prayer request, but we were talking last night too. Maybe make a list of some of the blessings you got even in 2020 and how that will change your viewpoint. Some of the good things is, so for instance, I'll start with the big one, the vaccine. Okay, Pfizer and Moderna have developed in less than a year a vaccine and begun administering it to people in less than a year. That's unheard of. Usually takes years to get that, even because the FDA is so slow about approving things and all that. And so the vaccine is being administered, and I'm looking forward to when it's my turn. I mean, this is unheard of. I read an article about Bill Gates said who put $14 billion of his own money into the research for this thing, where he was saying the scientific advancement this year has been dizzying. I mean, it's been just so fast, and I believe it's going to impact other things. So that's a good thing. Another good thing that happened, not as big as that, are drive-in movies made a comeback, all right? You know, drive-in concerts, you know, stuff like that, so, which is good if you're kind of anti-people. You know, you can sit in your car, you know, and you know, watch your movie or whatever. Restaurants, a lot of famous restaurants shared recipes with online so people could steal their recipes and cook it at home. You know, John Krasinski made Good News go viral with his little streaming show called Some Good News. Anybody see that? It's like in the middle of this horrible stuff, there's one guy making some good news, you know. And you know, people brushed up on their cooking skills and their sewing skills because couldn't go out to eat, right? So we learned how to cook again. I mean, you know, people rediscovered their love for cooking and gardening. Now, Pastor Kathy rediscovered her love of gardening. Pastor Robert did not, but I had to do it anyway. But anyway, during the quarantine, people spent more time with family. I mean, think about it. And while you see on the news the negative parts of that, and there have been some negative, I mean, domestic violence has increased and stuff like that, but by and large, that's a good thing to spend more time with family. And at our church, we were able to help thousands of hurricane victims because we had 5 hurricanes hit Louisiana. We were able to help thousands of hurricane victims through our giving to Convoy of Hope, who is over in the Lake Charles area big time, and then over in Alabama, and then here, you know, and stuff like that. We were able to help with them through your giving. And so then just before Thanksgiving, we were able to help 1,200 families and counting by supplying them groceries. And so the line, when we started that morning, was up the street, and they said it went all the way to La Palco. I don't know how you get to La Palco. Maybe it went over to Peters Road and then went up. But I know we were busy that day. And so there's some good things. So make your own list of good things that have happened. And you'll begin to see things a little differently because it will help. And the scripture that they shared on the video, I want us to look at, Isaiah 43:18-19, said this, but forget all that. And God's not, he's not saying forget everything. He's saying forget that negative stuff. He said, it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. Anybody ready for something new this year? And so he said, see, I've already begun. Do you not see it? Now, here's what he said. I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. You read that, and you go, okay, he's going to create a pathway in the wilderness. Life is like a wilderness. You've got all this junk out here. We've had pandemic. We've had hurricanes. We've got politics. We've got all this stuff going on. And God's saying, I'm going to make a path right through all that stuff for you. I'm going to show you how to negotiate all that. And then he said, and while I'm showing you how to do it, I'm going to create a river in the dry wasteland. In other words, he's going to provide for you while you're doing it. While you're steering your business through this time, God's going to show you, if you'll seek him, which direction to go, and then he's going to provide for you while you're doing it. Same with your families, your jobs. Now, I love the new year. It's oftentimes we make resolutions. I mean, for the past 20 years, I've been saying I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Obviously, I've gained them all back, right? You know, so, but, you know, we make resolutions, and it's a time when we try and put the previous year behind us and start new. We look with optimism for a new year. It's kind of like restarting your phone. Every now and then, you just got to push those two buttons and let that thing restart and kind of get rid of its headache, right? You know, and you so you clear it out, and you do that, it's good. But going into a new year, it's kind of like a team, like a sports team, getting ready to go out and getting ready for a game. I mean, you know, the sportscasters will say, well, you know, this team should go out and just beat that other team into the ground. And then the other team the Saints were supposed to beat into the ground beats us, right? That's been our history here. I mean, if you're a Saints fan long term, you know, we win the games we shouldn't win, and then we lose the ones that should be an automatic win. But you still have to play the game. You still have to play the game. And so, you know, you never know what's going to happen. When you're getting ready to go out on that field or you're getting ready to start something, you never know what's going to happen. So it's kind of like stepping into the unknown. And so we're moving in to the year 2021, which we hope will be better than 2020. But the reality is we're stepping into the unknown. We're moving in to the unknown. Now, as I say that, that's probably one of the biggest stressors that people have is the unknown. I'd rather have bad news than iffy news, right? I mean, you'd rather at least know, you know, that something's fixing to happen than wonder if something's fixing to happen. And it's a stressor because what happens is when we fill in the blanks, they're negative. They're always negative, right? We don't ever think, oh, man, I don't know what the boss wanted with me this meeting, but he must be wanting to give me a bonus or a raise. No, you're thinking, man, what am I going to do next? I can go apply here. I can go, you know. I mean, we don't ever put the positive in there. We're always the negative. So why don't we like the unknown? Well, I'm going to give you some reasons. None of us like it, but here's one reason. It's unclear. One reason it's unclear. I mean, as we face 2021, there's a lot of things that are unclear. We don't know, you know, what's going to happen, for instance, with the pandemic. Is it going to go away? Will the vaccine wipe it out like we have done with polio and smallpox? Or will it be more like the flu vaccine just keeps mutating and coming around and stuff like that? You know, we don't know what's going to happen. A lot of people don't know what's going to happen in their relationships. You know, we got people wondering, are they going to get married this year? You know, coming year, they're going to get divorced this year. Are the kids finally going to move out and start paying their own bills? I mean, you know, somebody said it's not just when they move out, it's when they pay their own way, you know, and stuff. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen with the economy? Are the jobs going to come back? Are the malls going to open? Are we going, you know, there's a lot of unknowns. A lot of things are unclear. Some people are worried about, you know, should they get the vaccine or not? You know, and for all those that don't want to get it, that's good. That's one less person in front of me. Okay, and so I will get it, and y'all can watch if I grow a third eye or something like that, you know, not to get it. But, I mean, you know, those kind of things. Some people worry whether Trump will leave the White House once Biden's sworn in, you know. He will because that's the law, you know. It doesn't matter if he wants to. They may drag him out of there. I don't know, but he'll leave. And because things are unclear, they're also unsettled. They're also unsettled. Now, here's what I mean by that. We don't walk into 2021 with a clean slate. Issues we've dealt with before follow us. Like if you're sick, fighting cancer, heart disease, or whatever, that follows you into 2021. If you've been hurt in relationships, that follows you into 2021. All these things that happen, you know, and follow us. And we at least like the illusion of being in control, you know, of that. But here's the thing. We carry these things over. We carry these things over. We can't just bury the past. It'll always follow us. You know, I laugh. I've seen so many people, they'll have a relationship at work, and they'll just can't get along with this person. Now, I'm not going to say that sometimes God makes us uncomfortable and move us, but let me tell you what I've experienced and watched over the years. People will leave because they can't get along with somebody. Guess who's waiting on them at the next job? The same personality type. Why? Because God's wanting to work in you. He's wanting to work in you. Or they'll leave a relationship and marry somebody just like the one they just left. And that happens over and over and over again. And because the future's unclear and unsettled, it's also uncontrollable. Now, I don't like not being able to control things. You know, most people don't. I always did these things, and a lot of times in group situations, I'll do, name three things you have on you and what they mean. And I would always pull out my keys. And when I do this with kids, kids would go, oh, yeah, that means you got a car. I said, no, this means I control when I leave and when I come. It's control. None of us like to be out of control. And so, like, man, one of the things I hate is when I don't have my car. It's at the shop or something. And so most of the time, I'll just sit there and write a sermon in the waiting room at Honda. So if you ever drive by Honda and see a guy looking like he's typing, that's me, you know. So, but, you know, we like that control. So, you know, think about it. The first day you move to a new city, there's so many things we can't control. I remember when I flew into Baton Rouge. I grew up in Georgia, and I was up there, and I spent 3 weeks in Colorado doing some training with this management company. Went back home. They're talking about White Christmas, and they were sending me to a place that wasn't in my top five places to live, to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I got off the plane, and my glasses fogged up. And I went, Lord, what have I done? Is this plane going back to Georgia? I mean, you know. So you go into a new city. I did know how to rent a car because I had flown once or twice before. You know, I'm young, and so I rented a car, and then I got to go find a hotel. So I'm looking for a hotel. They didn't have phones back then. So I had one of those big, you know, maps. And I'm thinking, all right, here's where I'm going to be working. What hotels are around? So I started driving around and found a hotel, stayed in a hotel for about a month because you never know what to expect. Didn't know where to go eat. Didn't know where. I flew in and left all my ties in Georgia and had to go buy a tie. I'm going, where in the world? Dillard's? I'm trying to remember. There was one that's no longer in business. I went into, and that's where I bought a tie, but I'd never heard of it, you know, and so nothing was around that was familiar and things like that. And then same with jobs, you know, you don't know what to expect when you're starting a new job, right? You're going in. I knew the work. I was in hospital maintenance and housekeeping supervision, so I knew the work when I went into this hospital, but I'd always seen these movies, you know, on Hallmark and everything. Nuns are sweet. Not in life. This hospital was run by nuns, and that's where I found out that nuns were not sweet little old ladies. And when they told you to do something, it better get done because they got a good memory. You know. And so I walked into this hospital. I started my first day was at noon because our evening shift came in at 2, and I was supposed to get everything ready, you know, and all that. At 4:30 in the morning, I left to go back home and was picked up at noon the next day. Finally, about the third day, I was able to go rent a car. And after about a month, they got tired of paying a hotel bill, and I was able to go find an apartment. They gave me a little time off. I started thinking of an off day as an 8-hour work day, and because we were working so long. So you never know what to expect, right? I mean, you've all been through those things if you've moved or started a new job. You never know what to expect. I mean, think about it. When you get married, you don't know what to expect. I mean, you know, ladies, y'all don't know that us guys don't know where the dirty clothes basket is, you know, and stuff like that. And that most of us like the toilet paper over and not under and stuff like that. And that are things that are important to us, you know, and stuff like that. Or when you buy a house, there's so many things you don't control in that. Or when you have kids, that's when it really gets, you know, big and stuff like that. So we don't like the unknown. But let me just tell you something. We don't like the unknown, but God seems to love it. You might fill that in. I don't know if it's a blank or not. You want to write it down. Anyway, we don't like the unknown, but God seems to love it. Let me just give you some examples while that's up there. Noah was told to go build an ark, a boat. And I'm sure when God said, I want you to build a boat, Noah went, what? Because he's living like in South Dakota, Oklahoma. I mean, like he's in Iran. I mean, that nowhere near an ocean. And God said, hey, I'm going to let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to flood the world. And he's going, rain. What is it? See, it had never rained before. So Noah, you know, he gets his instruction to build a boat. It never rained. Most people didn't know what it was. Can you imagine the faith and the courage it took for him to put that first board up and nail it, not knowing what was fixing to happen? Think about Moses. God said, Moses, I want you to go and set my people free. Okay, Lord, how do I do that? He said, well, you're going to go up to the most powerful man in the world and tell him to let him go. God, he's going to kill me. Yeah, I mean, think about it. We watch Charlton Heston. Everybody's seen Ten Commandments, right? Charlton Heston was great Moses, but, you know, he didn't know where they're going. And then when they're leaving, the Egyptian army changed its mind, and they're chasing them, and they come to the Red Sea. I mean, it's like, okay, there's an ocean in front of us, an army behind us. What do we do? It took some courage and faith for Moses to stick that staff in there and part that water and all that, not knowing what would get happened. They were on the way to a promised land they'd never seen, through a desert. They didn't know what the terrain was or anything like that. Esther was asked to go save her people from the king. She was asked to go into her husband, the king's throne room, when she hadn't been invited, which by the laws in that country would have caused her to be killed. If he hadn't have been happy with her, he could have just lowered his scepter and had her killed. And so she said, if I perish, I perish. But she went in and she ended up saving her people. God uses the unknown. Think about it. He told Paul. He said, go plant churches. Paul said, where? I think I'll go over here. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit makes Paul go over here. And so the unknown, he uses the unknown so many times. And I think a lot of that is because if he tells us the whole plan, we'd be like Jonah. We'd run, right? And so he uses the unknown. And here's what one of the things that Paul said. And he said, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen there, not knowing what will happen to me there. So Paul says, hey, I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen to me there, but he's heading into the unknown. He's heading into the unknown. And, he had this kind of thought in the back of his mind, this probably isn't going to be good, but he goes. And so he knew he had to go. It was like, I know something bad is going to happen, but I don't want to miss what God is doing. And so he went, even though he didn't know what it's going. Listen, we can either let 2021 happen to us, or in Jesus' name, we can take some steps to face the unknown this year. And so I want us to look at some of those. You know, there's a lot we don't know, but there are some things we do know. For instance, number one, we know that God is for us. Write that down. God is for us. I always say this, but I used to love the Morris Bart commercials. He says, I'm Morris Bart, and I'm on your side. You know, and people used to laugh, but he was the highest paid attorney in the state of Louisiana for a long time. I don't know if he is or not, but you know, God is on your side. He's for you, and too often we think that God is not for us. We grow up thinking that God is just trying to catch us having a little bit of fun so he can smack us down, you know, but that's not who God is. He's for us. And so it doesn't matter what's going on around us. You need to understand. You got to get it here and then here that God is for you. He is not against you. And so Romans 8:31, Paul said this. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? You might be looking at an enemy at work or an enemy or, you know, different things. You might not like the culture. You might not. But if God is on your side, it don't matter who's on the other side. It does not matter. I put this graphic up. Me plus God is always enough. Write that down. Me plus God is always enough. Matter of fact, say that with me. Me plus God is always enough. Y'all need to say that like you believe it. Me plus God is always enough. Paul goes on, says this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? I've seen so many people that think that, you know, I didn't read the Bible enough. I didn't pray long enough. I cussed. God doesn't love me anymore. I mean, look what it says. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or are hungry or destitute, in danger, or threatened with death? See, when things start going wrong, a lot of time we start thinking, well, God doesn't love me anymore. But he says this, that stuff can't separate you from his love. He says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. He said, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in that little baby we just celebrated his birthday in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, he loves you. It's like God saying, hey, look, guys, I love y'all, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do. See, he loved me when I was making fun of Christians. He loved me when I was calling born-again, dedicated believers Jesus freaks. He loved you when you were doing some of the things you were doing. He loved nothing we can do can ever separate us from you. You can be sick, and that can't separate you from God. I look at Miss Jean. Miss Jean, we're praying for you, by the way. Miss Jean's fighting cancer in her life. But, man, she's here. I mean, she's here. She kind of takes away any excuses for me when I don't want to come, you know what I mean? You know, but Miss Jean's here. I mean, people fighting that fight. I mean, Denise Ditta sitting over here leading worship. Her husband just went to be with the Lord a little while ago, and yet she's here choosing to help be a leader in worship. You know, think about the things that's gone on, how maybe if you had COVID, how God brought you through it. And let me tell you, it's not just a physical battle, it's an emotional and a spiritual battle. Because, you know, right in the middle of COVID, you know, you're sitting there and you've got these symptoms and somebody calls and says, well, you know, so-and-so died with that. Or like what happened to Pastor Kathy and me, a good friend of ours died who's younger than us. And it's just like, I don't need the play-by-play here, you know. And so, you know, and stuff like that. And so people will, you know, how many of you got that cousin or aunt or somebody? It don't matter. You could have what it flew, and they know they'll tell you somebody died, right? But I mean, you know, it's a spiritual battle and an emotional battle. But do you see how God brought you through it? See, God's in the miracle working business. He does that. Let me tell you, it's called His grace. It's called His grace, and it's for us. Let me tell you, the guilt and the shame that we typically walk away around with can be taken away through Christ. Can be taken away. God is for us. Say it with me. God is for us. He is. Number two, thing we know, anything is possible with the Lord. We know that anything's possible with the Lord. You see, we start looking at the problems and all the things, and we think, oh, woe is me, it's terrible. But anything is possible with God. I mean, anything. When I look at the lives changed through my wife's prison ministry over the years, let me tell you something, anything is possible. Guys that would never have been in church, I mean, just even there's so many of them, it's hard to even start recounting. But, I mean, just George King, our children's pastor, youth pastor, who's now the chaplain for the Mississippi State Penitentiary, did 21 years in Angola. You know, and he got his Bible degree there, and when he got out, we hired him as youth pastor for a while, and now he's the chaplain. Now he gets paid to go to the prison, not just 4 cents an hour. He gets real money to go into the prison. How God uses people and changes. He's in the miracle working business, and anything is possible. In Mark chapter 9, there's a story about a father who comes to Jesus, and his child is being attacked by demons. They would throw him on the ground and all that kind of stuff, and the disciples went and prayed over him, and the demon didn't leave. And matter of fact, when they came to Jesus, he saw the disturbance going on. He said, "What's going on?" And the man said, "Your disciples couldn't cast this demon out of my son." And so Jesus says, "Well," he says this, "How long has this been happening?" Which, by the way, how many of you know when you read Jesus ask a question, you do know he knows the answer, right? Okay, but that was for the man's sake. Jesus asked the boy's father, and he replied, "Since he was a little boy, The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water trying to kill him." And then he said this, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Jesus replied, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus answered, "Anything is possible if a person believes." Anything is possible if we believe Jesus can do that. I like the way the Message says that line. It says, Jesus said, "If there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen." And so, you know, look at the father's response real quick. The father cried out, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Folks, that's an adequate prayer for you to pray. You might know up here that God can heal you, just getting it to here. You might know up here that God is going to provide you when job stuff's going crazy. You just got to get it here. And so, Lord, I believe, but help me overcome my unbeliefs. Look at this and fill this blank in. If there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. We've got to take the if out of our prayer and believe that God can do it. You've got to walk in faith. You've got to believe that God can do that. And it's a step. It's just, as Pastor Kathy's good at this, she makes these confessions. And it's not, God, if you'll do this. It's, God, I believe you're doing this. You're doing it. You're doing it now. And she's all, you know, always saying, thank you, God, for making God, Robert a good husband and stuff like that. It, speaking with that which isn't as if it were, you know, and getting it better, you know. So there are no if there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. Paul of Hebrews says this: faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. So we speak it through faith, and we see it in faith. It's the reality of what we hope for. It's believing for something you don't see right now. And that's one of the good things with 21 days of prayer, and if you choose to fast and fasting, that'll come up. When you spend that time in prayer, it's gonna make a difference in your year. And Pastor Kathy was talking about making a list of things you want God to do. I'll call it an anything can happen list. Okay, it's a list of what you'd like. Now, it's not like, I mean, like I want to lose 10 pounds. Well, most of us can't lose 10 pounds without God's help. But anyway, you might want to, it's things that you want to write down that you can't do but God can do. Salvation of a child or a cousin or a relative or something like that. But make that list and then be praying for it the whole year. Be praying for it the whole year. Things you want in 2021 that only God can do. Say it with me. Anything is possible with the Lord. Let's say that like we mean it. Anything is possible with the Lord. Let me tell you, He is for us. So because God is for you, you can rebuild your businesses, you can rebuild your relationships, your job, your career path. God is always working for you. The next thing is, now is the time. Now's the time. This year is your year. You know, it's where the rubber meets the road. It's the point in our lives where we can turn what could be into what we believe. You know, 2021 is when what could be turns into what we believe. 2021 is where what could be turns into what we believe by faith God is going to do. It's time to start that new thing that Isaiah started about. And it doesn't have to look the way it's always looked. You know, look at Hebrews 11:8. Faith motivated Abraham to obey God. He motivated Abraham. Abraham didn't have to obey God, but he motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar. See, sometimes we got to leave the familiar. Sometimes God is moving us from something, and we leave the familiar to discover the territory that he was destined to inherit from God. So he had to leave the familiar to discover his destiny and the territory that he was destined to get. So he left with only a promise without even knowing ahead of time where he was going. Abraham stepped out in faith. I mean, can you imagine that? He's packing up all his relatives, his animals, you know, all that. And they say, Abraham, where are you going? I'm not sure. We're fixing to go this way and wait for God, you know. And so he went, you know, without knowing where he was going. Abraham stepped out in faith. And listen, when he did step out in faith, the first thing he did was he left the familiar. Write that down. You know, I don't mind leaving the familiar if I know where I'm going, right? What do we typically do when we're going somewhere we don't know where it is? You type that address in your map. You type that address in your map. And that way, Siri tells you every which way to go. I can remember one time we were driving and we took a detour to do the scenic route, like through Gatlinburg and all the mountains up in there. And I got a little worried because Siri quit working. You're out in the country when Siri can't talk to you anymore, all right? You know, and and, you know, didn't have one of those big maps like I used to. But you know, we like the familiar, and so, but he left the familiar. And once Abraham left the familiar, the second thing he did was he discovered his destiny. He discovered his purpose, what God was going to do. He found his inheritance, and you know, there's nothing unknown for God. That's the thing we've got to realize. I might not be able to see over the next hill, but God can see over the next hill. He knows what's over there. Somebody one time said, we see history starting here and going that way. God looks down on it, and it looks like a dot. He sees it all at the same time. So he knows what's around the corner over the hill. He knows all that. And so Abraham stepped out in faith, and he followed what God did. See, God is, you know, we might not see that purpose, but he sees it. We just got to take the first step and follow him. You have purpose. I want to tell you that. You have purpose, but you have to leave the familiar. Now, Abraham had a choice to make, just like we have. And he could have missed it had he made the wrong choice. Sometimes you think that you can't do what God's called you to do. Maybe God's been putting something on your mind. Let me tell you, I resisted the call into ministry for 14 years while I was doing hospital work. I knew before I ever went into hospital management that I was supposed to be doing what I'm doing. But I ran from that. You can miss it. And so you may have been told something that you can't do it. You may have been said, hey, look, you know, I've had this said, you don't speak good enough. You know, you can't be a pastor. You're not a good preacher. You know, I've been told different things. And maybe you've been told you'll never change. You can't do what God wants you to do. But you've got to take that first step. So I can remember speech class in college. I don't know if you have to do that anymore or not, but when I went to college, you had to take one speech class. And I remember my first speech I had to give, almost fainted. I mean, it was like pale, clammy, you know. It was like I was scared to death. I might like to see what that recording sounded like because I know it was terrible, okay? And, you know, but I knew God had called me. And so I almost fainted, but when God called me, you know, I've spoken over 14 years that I was doing ministry in the schools to thousands of students every year doing thousands of students and where I would speak. And, you know, I hired a guy one time and one of the coaches was talking about, man, he really connects with the kids. Not that you don't. Look, I hired him because he's good. You know, but see, I knew didn't matter. I wanted a bunch of guys that could speak better than me. But see, I knew what my calling was. You've got to know what your calling is. And God will always provide for you whatever that is. And so when we began this church, we started this church against all odds. I mean, if you think about it, we didn't know who would come. We didn't know how we would survive financially. We didn't even know where we'd meet. We didn't meet here when we started. We didn't know where we'd meet. You know, all the odds were against us. But here we are, 4.5 years later. Here we are. God is in the miracle-working business. We had to turn down the certain for the uncertain. We had to leave the familiar to do what God was calling us to do. And you know, we've got a God who's for us. Say that again with me. We've got a God who's for us. And we've got a God who's gone before us. If you think about it, Jesus came. He lived like you and me. The Bible says he was tempted in every way that we were. He was tempted not to pay his taxes, so he got a fish to spit out a gold coin. I mean, you know, I wish makes you want to go fishing, doesn't it? But you know, I mean, he was tempted in every way we are. He's walked that path before us. So all we have to do, we don't have to go out here and figure it out. We just got to follow in his footsteps, right behind him. You know, when I was a kid, my mama would say she couldn't sometimes tell if it was me or my dad walking into the house because we walked the same way. Why? Because I'd been following him around the yard so much that I walked like him. And so we want people to not know if it's Jesus walking or us walking because we want to be following him down the path. And he's laid that path out there for us. So all we've got to do is follow him. He paid the price on the cross for our sin and our forgiveness. And that's really what it's about. So I want you to bow your heads for a minute. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. And some of you are here, maybe you're worried about marriage, job situation. Maybe you've got anxieties about the future. I mean, we live in a microwave society. We're wondering if it's ever going to be the same or not. But folks, let me tell you, this year's been terrible, but it's been less than a year. And in that year, treatments for something brand new have been developed, the vaccine's been developed, that normally takes years. A lot of the things, when we look back in the past, we see that was a horrible time, and we see it lasted 5 years, 4 years. And we've come up with some solutions. We got anxieties. There may be somebody who's listening even that you're thinking about giving up. We know a lot of people are at that place where they're just ready to give up. Listen to me. God is for you. And I'm going to pray for you. Maybe you're a believer. Maybe you've given your life to Christ and you're just feeling some of those feelings. Well, maybe you need to take some steps. Maybe your next step is to participate in the 21 days of prayer and even fasting. Or maybe it's committing to say, you know what, I'm going to give it a year. I'm going to plug in. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to spend the time in prayer. And I'm going to do the first 15. I'm going to do all that kind of stuff. I want this to be an Abraham step out in faith moment for you. I want you to be willing to release the unfamiliar into God's hands and step out. But first, if you're listening and you've never received Jesus, it all starts with a relationship with Jesus. When I was younger, I received him. I invited him to come into my life, and he came and he changed me, and he'll do the same for you. He'll forgive you of your sins. He will take you into eternity, but he'll give you a rich and satisfying life here. So I want to pray a prayer. You can pray with me if you're listening, watching, or if you're here. It just goes like this. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Give me the power to follow you. I'll give you control of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, just real simple. Jesus came into your heart. He forgave you of your sin. And now he wants you to learn to follow him. Now, if you're feeling some of these other things, I want to just say a prayer as we close before we sing a song. And so, God, you see each person in this room, each person listening. Lord, many people who know you. Lord, we have anxieties about the future. We worry about our kids and their futures and stuff like that. So, God, I pray that we'll just give them to you, Lord. Lord, for those who are facing decisions to maybe leave the familiar and step out and do something that you want them to do that they're just maybe afraid to do, Lord. Lord, I pray that they'll leave that comfort, that familiar, and step out and go, God. Lord, release it into your hands and let us walk without worry. So, God, I thank you that you'll do that. Pray that as we leave, God, you will let your light reflect in us into our world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're gonna sing on the way out, but I want to first invite you to Wednesday night. We're having a Christmas Christmas. Kathy last night said, I'm not ready for Christmas to be over. So we'll have another Christmas Eve service. We're gonna have a New Year's Eve service on Wednesday. Everybody say with me, Wednesday. Because I had people calling. Are we having a Christmas Eve on Thursday? No, we're having a New Year's Eve service on Wednesday night. And then y'all can go eating and stuff on New Year's Eve. So let's stand up and worship together. God bless you for being.
Show us your glory. Show us your glory.